Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
Hey, everybody! Crack the crown! Live from the Rock of Seattle, it's BJ and Mix!
BJ and Mix. Mornings, 99.9 KISW.
Because, hey, at least once a day, you should experience a BJ.
You know, I'm ready for my BJ.
KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Hey, Steve.
Good morning, BJ.
Look at you, man. Like that shirt.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Just paying tribute to a buddy who unfortunately passed away.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
My friend Sugar, he died in a motorcycle accident, played in a great band called Brenomaker and the Rodeo, and they're going to be playing on Saturday night at Nectar Lounge, paying tribute to him, his music, and also celebrating 10 years as a band. It's going to be a pretty emotional and awesome night, and I'm going to be there, and it's going to be fun.
And did they make that shirt as a tribute?
Somebody who's a fan of the band made the shirt as a tribute and gave it to the band, and they gave one to me because I played in a band for a minute with Sugar, with the awesome band name that was The Vaginas.
Oh, The Vaginas, yes. I remember them.
No, we never played a show live. We spent a lot of time in a practice space, and that was just the sense of humor that we all had.
Yeah, about that?
Yeah, Sugar's a great guy, and it's sad that he's gone.
Yeah, you know what I heard about The Vaginas is they had a D on drums.
Yes.
Hey!
Thank you.
What I did there?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. There you go.
But if you knew Sugar, if you're a fan of the music that he's been a part of, he's been in a million bands locally. Saturday night at the Nectar Lounge is where we're all going to be, and Brenomaker and the Rodeo are going to be taking it up a notch. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I think it's really cool. You know, when somebody does that, goes out of their way to make a shirt for somebody because they meant somebody like that. For me, I think that's a really, really cool thing. And that's a sweet shirt they made, dude.
Yeah, it's very Johnny Cash-like.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, nice tribute to him.
Yeah, so... definitely. I'm glad you guys are getting together. Sometimes it's a nice thing to have a get together for people just to, you know, to heal, to remember. You know, it's tough.
It really is weird timing because, I mean, the band already had the show planned. It was a 10-year anniversary show, and then word came out.
Oh, wow.
Because he hasn't been in the band for a couple of years, but they're still all really close friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's part of the motorcycle club community as well. So there's a lot of people that are very impacted and affected by this loss. It's way too young, left a wife behind. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Saturday night, though, it'll be a celebration in his honor.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's very, very cool. Well, Steve... here I got to start the day because, you know, it's another work day. You know, you get up. A lot of people have to deal with that. You know, you just the alarm sometimes. You go, gosh, I really, why are you going off so early?
And, why can't it be Saturday?
Why? How much longer do I have to do this? And the good thing about getting older is that, you know, you're a day closer to not having to do this anymore. Or at least we used to think we were closer. But now recent research is showing that pretty much more than half of Americans who are not yet retired say they expect that they've got to work past the age of 65. And for some people, some crazy people think, you know, 3 out of 10 people think they don't have to, but that's insane because life expectancy is getting longer and longer, and Social Security, God knows what that's going to become, you know, in the next 50 years if we'll even have it.
I hate hearing that, and I know that that's a genuine concern. I just hate hearing that because every month or every couple of weeks I look at my paycheck and I see the money that goes to Social Security, and I'm like, well, where's that going to be?
It was a great idea, Social Security, because everybody pretty much retired at 65 and died by 70. Mm. So you really only had to support somebody for 5 years for the most part. I mean, you know, on average or whatever. I mean, if the wife lived a little longer, she still got some, but or the husband, depending on who died first and the working thing. But now people are living to 90, and that's different. You know, you got to support them for 15 years. So Social Security just was never meant to do that. And now we're effed is basically, you know, we're effed, Steve.
No, dude, my dad's retiring at 74.
Yeah.
So he went 9 years longer than what everyone thinks. And part of me thinks he really doesn't want to retire. I think he's going to be happy not to have to go to work, but I think he's going to miss having something to do.
Yeah, exactly. They say it in sports. The guys don't leave the game because they want to stop playing the game. They leave the game because of all the prep work that goes into it. That's the pain in the ass.
Yep.
So your dad, if he could just walk in when he wanted to, hang out, hey, what's up, do a little bit of work and go, all right, I'm done. I'm going to go for a 3-hour lunch.
Yeah, and not have to worry about his phone blowing up, everybody having a million questions. You're right. A lot of those athletes, especially in football, some of them decide to retire because they just don't want to deal with training camp.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a beating. And then the off-season, you see a lot of these athletes blow up. I mean, you realize that they ate a lot, but they were burning it all off.
Yeah, who's
it? And, oh, boy, when they stop playing, man, they still keep eating.
Well, and you also see, though, the flip side, because there's some of the guys, you got the offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah.
And remember our buddy Craig Terrell, when he was playing for the Seahawks, you know, he had to be a bigger dude because he was on the line.
Yeah.
On the defensive line. And as soon as he was done with his career, it was like he turned into half the size that he once was because he didn't have to stuff his face with all this food to stay that weight.
How about that? How about that's a great problem that you get to have?
Yeah.
You know, well, now I have to stop eating, I can lose weight without even thinking about it. Boy, I'd like to have that problem.
Yeah, I think he also had to work out a little bit, too, in order to drop those pounds.
Oh, I have to do something?
Yeah, you know, you put a little effort into it.
Oh, that ain't right. I just, like, if I could take a week off of this job and come back thinner, that would be amazing. That usually doesn't happen.
I was gonna say, you'd have to stay away from all food.
Yeah, there is that, yeah. Speaking of all food, how did a potato chip, save a Marysville woman's life? Steve's going to tell you how. He's got the news for you at 6:17.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Tickets on sale now for Pain in the Grass 2016. Yes, coming back in the summer. It's a tradition. Awesome music, Disturbed, Breaking Benjamin, Alter Bridge, Anthrax, Windowpane. Lots of bands will be also thrown on the bill as we get rolling towards that. And you can hang out backstage with us. That's a great experience. The Pain in the Grass Backstage Barbecue. That's where bands get interviewed. Sometimes they do acoustic sets. You get great food, get great beverages. All the KISW rock staff's going to be there. That Palace Law Premium Experience ticket is really sweet. So if you know somebody that loves Pain in the Grass or just someone that you think would have a great time hanging with us, that's a great gift. Or treat yourself. And also charity happens too. $2 from every ticket sold to Pain in the Grass goes to the Vitology Foundation. They do great work. All the info at KISW.com.
Most fifth graders have a better grasp of the English language. Unfortunately, there aren't any available this early in the morning. This is News with Steve Migs.
Well, thanks, guys, and thanks to Jersey Mike's for giving us news and sports. And it's always interesting to hear these stories where somebody thinks they have an issue, then they go to the doctor and find out that they actually had something that was way worse, but fortunately found out early in the stage of it all. And this happened to a woman in Marysville. Her name's Christine Moore. Apparently, she's a huge potato chip fan.
Oh, I love this woman already.
Apparently, she eats Ruffles potato chips every day for the past 20 years.
Whoa, she's the man.
She says it's a staple of her lunch.
Yeah.
But because of her potato chip obsession, it led to an early diagnosis of throat cancer.
Oh, damn.
Reason being is that a fragment of the chip poked her tonsil, couple of months ago. And, you know, the Ruffles, they have ridges.
They do.
So she's like, wow, my throat hurts. And then she thought, well, she was getting sick. Her husband's like, you know what? Go to the doctor and check and see if you have, like, strep or something like that.
All right.
So she goes to the doctor, and it's not strep. And the issue is not because of the potato chip, but that's what, you know, got her thinking. Turns out she had the early stages of throat cancer. She had a tumor the size of a quarter in her throat.
Oh.
One of the reasons being is because she was a smoker for many, many years. As soon as she found out the diagnosis, she quit cold turkey. And the cancer hadn't spread, thankfully. And catching the disease that early means that the prognosis is really good. So all because of a potato chip.
Dude, she's lucky that that wasn't the size of your nipples, which is like the size of a 50
silver
cent
dollar.
Piece.
Silver dollar,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So that's only quarter size, not Steve nipple size.
At what point can a news story not go back to my nipples, BJ?
Hey, now there's a line for you.
Hey, idiots, stop posting or stop using those laser pointers and pointing them at people.
Oh, are they still doing that?
Whidbey Island guy in trouble for doing it not once, not twice, but three times. He's 27 years old. He's accused of shining not just like, you know, the ones that you get at a store, but like those industrial laser pointers. A high-powered laser that's powerful enough to start fires.
Whoa.
Not only did he point it at a couple of ferry captains back in October, he says he was pointing it at the water and it reflected off the water and hit them, but he also at one point pointed it at a police officer. The laser was confiscated. He is going to be dealing with some issues, facing some court time and possibly some prison time. Who knows what's going to happen with this dude, but yeah, that's not a good thing.
Laser him in the jimmy.
There you go.
Idiot.
Yeah, apparently this laser could like burn wood.
So, oh, well, then definitely in the jimmy.
Laser him in the jimmy.
Yeah.
Speaking of burning wood, or a lack of burning wood when it comes to a baseball bat, the Mariners lost 8-0.
Oh, my God, we are horrible.
Adrian Beltre just crushed them.
Oh, yeah.
Drove in 5 runs, 8-0. That's a 5-game losing streak for the Mariners against the Texas Rangers.
It's now time.
Tonight. It is now time. It all ends tonight.
It all ends tonight.
This is not the way you want to start a season.
My Red Sox got destroyed yesterday, too.
Who cares about the Red Sox?
Well, I'm just saying, we're going hand. It was supposed to be us and them. You know what I mean?
No, I don't, but that's you.
That's my dream, the Mariners, Red Sox. Why can't I dream that?
You can. I don't share all my dreams with you guys all the time.
That's because your dreams are perverted.
That's a good point there. NC-17.
Yes.
Kobe Bryant making it all end tonight.
Yeah.
The misery that is the Lakers season. And the end of his career. Props to him. An amazing career, obviously. But, man, what a rough season for those guys. He's played 20 seasons. He's 37 years old. All of them with the Lakers. So if you want to check out, you know, a historic moment, tonight's the night to watch a Lakers game.
Historic moment. I know what you're saying. You're absolutely right. It's too bad he didn't go out on top. You know what I mean? This is a horrible whimper of a like, I don't know. I don't even care. I don't know if
a basketball fan in general, though.
I would have cared if the Lakers, like if he was on the Clippers, I'd care.
Why?
I mean, not the Clippers, I should say the Warriors. But the trouble is that he's been so miserable. I mean, last couple seasons, he's been nothing.
He's been injury plagued, but he's still an amazing player. I still think it's cool to be able to watch a guy go out and on his own terms. I know that we as fans like to see the players go out on top and ride off into the sunset, but these guys, this is what they love to do. I don't begrudge the guy because he's playing in not playing all that well.
I begrudge him because he threw a towel at me once.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. A sweaty towel.
A sweaty something towel.
And bummer news for us wrestling fans, a guy that was a staple of the extreme wrestling, ECW, Balls Mahoney, passed away at the age of 44. Another wrestler that doesn't make it to the age of 50. It's just unreal. Cause of death isn't known just yet, but man, he put his body through the ringer. I mean, if you're going to be a part of extreme wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, as far as weather, 59 degrees and cloudy.
You know, Stevie, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I mean, I know that they've been taking a look at concussions in a very serious way, at least in the world of the WWE, but that's another sport like football that people have had to take a double take and go, just how grueling is this on the body? Plus the schedule, because those guys work really hard, and gals too, and sometimes, you know, you're not taking good care of yourself because of that crazy schedule, along with, you know, just doing the job itself.
And even the biggest guy in the world of wrestling, John Cena, just recently was in the news because he said that he'd be up for donating his brain if it could help others when it comes to, like, you know, checking for concussions. And not donating it right now, of course, but you know, when his time comes. He'd be more than happy to donate his brain for research.
I know. That's going to be tough, though, for the doctors, because I don't think they're going to be able to see it, right?
Thank you.
right? I mean,
and you're right.
You won't be able to see John Cena's brain.
Hopefully they like, you know, put like a post-it note on
something
it.
On there. Yeah,
that way they can see.
Yeah, that way they'll be able to go. Oh, there it is, right there. Okay. Yeah. Alrighty. I have to tell you something. There's a fan of the Detroit Tigers who I think should be escorted from the country. It's not right.
What happened?
He had an amazing day at the ballpark. He caught 5 foul balls in one game.
Wow.
Damn. Have you ever caught a foul ball?
No.
I've always wanted to catch a foul ball, but then when it starts coming at me, I get kind of scared.
I'm with you on that. I had one land in a row behind me, and Sarah would have been dead because I didn't protect her.
The ones that are coming up in the air and coming down, I mean, I'm sure...
No, that was the one I didn't like.
BJ.
I let it go.
I'm talking about the ones where they just rip it.
Yeah, I was at Safeco where I thought I was going to catch a home run ball, and it blew out one of the lights over me. And like you said, you don't realize how fast it's coming at you until it's coming at you.
And the crazy part, you thought you were going to catch a home run ball, and you were sitting behind the catcher.
Yeah, well, I had a shot. I thought I could do it. Yeah, I was. I was walking around the park, you know, over by right field, and I might have been trying to get a fried Twinkie, and it was a blast. And so I'm like, holy cow, I'll catch this, and then I'm like, no, I won't.
Yeah.
Oh, they can be screamers.
You realize how many people have zero sense of death perception.
Yeah.
When you're at a ball, there's sometimes where the ball goes up in the air and everyone's freaking out. I'm like, it's 20 sections away from us, man. Put your glove back under your chair.
Yeah.
Guys got their head, as if it's going to take a weird curve and land in their glove.
That's why you got to give outfielders amazing credit because they know exactly where that ball is going to be, the really good ones. And I know when I used to play softball, it was always over my head. I thought, oh, I got it. Oh, damn it. I moved in. I should have moved out.
Even the batters, too. I was watching the Mariners game, and I think it was either Cano or Cruz, and it was the game where they lost, right in the 10th. And he hit it, and I thought, oh, man, is that going deep? Is that going yard? And I'm sure the fans, too, in the crowd. But, you could see he knew that it wasn't.
Yeah.
And it was, maybe just, maybe 15 feet away from the wall. But, man, I'm clueless to that. As soon as it leaves the ball leaves the bat, I'm like, it's home run. And then the second baseman catches it. And
But still, you know, these balls go everywhere. And there's a lot of fans that are trying to catch these balls. And this guy caught 5 of them.
He's got to be in a sweet spot, where certain spots, kind of against on the line by foul ball line, maybe. I don't know.
Man. Yeah, his name is Bill Dugan, and he's 39. He shares the balls with the kids, so I think that's really cool. So he catches them, but then gives them away, which I think
the baseball is...
Yeah.
Okay. That's just a weirdly written story, you think?
Alrighty. Jesus, honest to God. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, as we're talking about baseballs, Dugan said he made a habit of catching foul balls and sharing them with kids in the stadium at Tigers games since returning to his hometown back in 84. So, he's practiced at this.
Jeez, he's been with them since they won that World Series.
Yeah.
I only remember because they beat the damn Padres and Steve Garvey. Still bitter about it.
You need to get over that, buddy.
I'm never getting over it.
It's 30 years ago, okay? You need to get over it.
That's when baseball died.
That's when baseball died, man. Dugan said he once caught a total of 8 foul balls between batting practice and a game back in 2002. So this is not the first time he's caught a lot of baseballs like this. You're right, Steve. Maybe he's found a sweet spot that we don't know about. That's insane.
Because it sounds originally I'm thinking, oh, this guy's just a douche. He's probably just grabbing the balls from everybody. He doesn't care if he gets in the way of a kid. But if he's giving them to kids, I doubt that he would care if he doesn't catch it then.
I would like to see video of this because I don't know if he's catching foul balls hanging over. You know how some people hang over the front row and just catch little ground balls before the batting person does, the ball boy or ball girl. I don't know if he's doing it that way. I assumed he was catching them in the stands. There were pop fly foul balls or line drive foul balls into the stands, and he was getting them. I don't know. That's what amazes me, if he's catching them in the stands without having to reach over on the field to get them.
I mean, he's a season ticket holder, but yeah, I'm not sure.
Still, that's one game.
Yeah, I just love that. I was reading a story about it, and there's a... I guess whenever he shows up, all the kids kind of gravitate towards him because they know that he's going to hand off the balls.
Good for him, man. That guy's skilled. I hope the Tigers do something with this guy if they already haven't, because that's a pretty... That guy's an awesome fan.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine you would think. Yeah, it looks like he's just in a section.
Wow, and he's able to catch them. There must be something about that new Tiger Stadium. Well, it was new a few years ago.
It's his glove, man.
Oh, it's the glove.
It's got a giant
glove.
He's
just giving the peace out. Hey, man, what's up? I'm the ball guy. And by the way, Steve Miggs, I'm giving baseballs to the kids, you pervert bastard. That's what he's saying on that thing. Yeah.
Versus, did you say the Tigers? He's probably the only person in the stands.
Well, there is that possibility. Oh, boy. Yesterday, our boy Steve, the ball boy himself, he was stumped on this one.
Which company owns the brand of cookies Chips Ahoy?
Nestle.
No.
Toll House.
No.
Chips Ahoy.
No. So when I step on the scale and lament the fact that I can't drop the pounds, perhaps it's because I know that Nabisco is the answer to that question, and I knew it for many years of my life.
That could be the problem.
You have a shot at beating Steve, 206-421-ROCK. ROCK is 7625. We're playing Beat Migs at 647.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. How long is a bankruptcy going to affect my credit rating?
Of course, most of the time, by the time we're talking about filing a bankruptcy, the credit has already taken a huge hit. Chapter 7 is going to affect it more negatively than Chapter 13. Chapter 7 stays on your credit report for 10 years from the time you file. It usually takes 7 or 8 years for your credit scores to get back into the normal range in a Chapter 7 case. However, your credit will start to recover even in Chapter 7 after about a year. You'll be able to get credit again right away, usually before your case is even over. Chapter 13 stays on your credit report for 7 years and usually takes about three and a half years for your credit to get back in the normal range. So Chapter 13 will mean your credit gets better much more rapidly.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.